my worship and praise flow to you.
Yes.
So worthy to be praised. Yes. We just want to thank you this week, Lord, for being with us. And even, Lord, even though we did wrong, you treat us like we do right. And we thank you so much for it. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Give you all honor and glory. It is, I could never worship you enough, never praise you enough, and never thank you enough for all that you do. I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, take your seat. Amen. Y'all doing okay? Amen. Bless the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. When I said that, you know, the Lord, we do wrong, but the Lord treats us like we do right. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. And we sin all the time, and we don't experience death. So we just have to thank God that even when we do wrong, even sometimes in disobedience, he loves us in spite of disobedience.
Amen.
Reminds me of my parents that just love me beyond my crazy stage. Love me beyond the time that if you looked at me back then, you would have thought there wasn't no hope. And they love me past that and through it. And that's just what God wants to do for you and us.
Amen.
He wants us to love. He wants to love us through to the other side. I would be amiss if I didn't acknowledge my beautiful wife, and it is our 7-year anniversary. Glory be to God. And 7 is the number of completion. I really believe God has completed a chapter in our life.
Yes.
You know, we've been through so much in the first 7 years. It just was so difficult. Not between me and her, but just life. It was so hard from the very beginning. Ever since I proposed, life got really difficult. You know, ever since then, it got real hard. But I thank God for her. And, it's just been 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I do have two wonderful parents that have been together 30-some years, and they really set the stage in our life.
Yeah,
Lord, they really set the stage in our life. You know, the stuff that I see tear other marriages apart really kept my parents together. Like me being a sick child, most parents that deal with a sick child end up fighting at each other. They stayed together through that. And finances, they stayed together through a financial turmoil. Stay together through everything. If you can stay together through me, you can make it through anything in the world. You know, and it was such I had the best of both worlds. Mama loved me. When my daddy whooped me, my mama sneaked in the room and hugged me and kissed me. It was the best. Boy, I could do no wrong in my mama's eyes. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Glory. All right, let's get in the Word. Just have a little word for us today. We thank God for the opportunity. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. I don't think I said that, did I? Verse 8. Let me read verse 8 through 13. And when the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, she told him, As the Lord your God liveth, I have not a cake, which was the language for a small piece of bread was cake. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said you needed to do, but make me therefore a little cake first, and and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. It's not a task that we take here in the ministry for granted. We know that it is by your Holy Spirit and your anointing that the word is preached and also the word is received. So we ask that you would just fall from heaven upon us now. Be with us. Give us a heart to receive and an ear to hear. Father, we want to change. My challenge this morning from Pastor Ariana was to change. We want to change. So we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Glory. Glory, glory. So Elijah approaches this woman and he says to her, can you go and get me a piece of bread or a piece of cake? And the woman says, I don't have cake, but this is what I do have. God with us, a lot of times God comes to us and he says, you're a great leader, or you're a great this, or you're a great that, or do this for me, or do that for me. And our response is, I can't do that, or I don't have that. Now, her response could have been, Elijah, man of God, I don't have cake, but I have what it takes to make the cake. Did you catch the way she didn't say that? She said, I don't have it. We have to recognize that the things that God asked us to do are already ingredients in us. We just have to spend time with God, making it up with him to get what he called to get out of our lives. Now, cooking is not easy. We are a fast food generation. There's nothing like a Friday night when, you know, it's so fun. You know, if we're in our cooking stage where we're trying to cook and do right, and I can come home and I can see it all on April's face. She's tired from the week. She don't want to cook. And she'll look at me. She's like, I just don't feel like cooking. And I'm like, that's okay. Let's go get something to eat. Well, with God, we have been fast fooding it with God for so long. And the things he's asking to bring out of us are only ingredients that can be made up to produce what he has. We can't fast food God. We can't just go grab something and say, okay, here you go, God, take this. Take this attitude or take this prideful character. You know, we can't do that. We have to let God make up the ingredient. That takes work. That takes change, especially if you're not a cook. I try to cook, smoke detector go off, everything messed up. And cooking is just not a good thing. It don't produce nothing good. But I would have to work at it to produce something good. We can't forsake the cooking in our lives, the working that we have to do. What God is asking you to do, and everybody here knows God is asking them to do something. God has the ingredients in you. And most of the time we recognize the ingredients. Like, we'll say, you know what, I know I'm a born leader. I'm good with administration. I'm good with finances. I'm good with encouraging people, instructing people, and coaching people. And you say, I got all this, but I'm not called to be a leader. You are. You take all that, you mix it up, now you're a leader for God. So it's a lot of things God is saying to you. We have to look to the ingredients, okay? Yeah. Look to the ingredients. We have to focus on the ingredients. Now, I want to read a part. He told her, he told her to go, you know, make the cake, do whatever. And her mindset was, as your God lives. So her thing was, I'm going to prove to you that I don't have it. Most of us spend time trying to prove to God that we're not what he called us to be. Instead of accepting that I have everything to make what he's called me to be. So he told her to do all this, and she said, well, look, me and my son about to die. She didn't even say, we're going to eat and live. She said, we're going to eat and die. So you know they really thought they were about to die, because eating was not going to save. So that's what she said, we're going to eat and die. Now listen to what the man of God said. He said, fear not, in verse 13, go and do as thou hast said. Go and do it, but make me therefore a little cake first. Go and do what you got to do, but do this for me first. Now, how does that translate to us wonderful people of God? Isn't it like God that in the midst of when life, now you gotta remember, their thing was we're about to eat and die. It's the last meal, our death row meal, we're about to eat and die. That's their mindset. So you know life was pressing on them. Isn't it just like God that when life is at the most pressing place for us, he tells us to put him first and not ourselves? Life is, the press of life is not gonna change. So to try, what we try to do is change God. God, let me put you first when life is not pressing. And God's demand is put me first whether life is pressing or not. A lot of us, we work, we got jobs, we got families, and then we got, if you're in this church, you're dealing with everything that's inside, you're trying to get right because that's what we dig in. So we got all that going on and life will press. And the man of God said, you can go do what you got to do. You can pay your bills. You can focus on your finances. You can deal with yourself, but put me first. How many of you actually take the time to put God first? Not when it's easy, but when life is pressing. Take the time to put God first when life is pressing and not when it's easy. Putting God first is not a simple thing. It is so much easier said than done. It is very easy to put God first in a convenient place. It's no problem. I wake up skimming through life, I can pray and read. Ain't no problem. Praying and reading ain't no problem. I can read a lot when I'm skipping through life. But when life is pressuring you to the point that, like the woman, she felt they were going to die. We know when life squeezes us so we feel like we can't take life no more. It's at that place that we have to learn to put God first. And that's a challenge. That's very difficult, to be depressed, to be angry, to be frustrated, to be financially struggling and put God first. Very difficult, but we have to do it. I'm not gonna get into the whole money piece and bother y'all with money, but financially, so many of us struggle and God will say, so 2%, and we won't do it because it's a financial struggle. Now, when you come in here with $5,000 in your pocket and God say give $10, ain't no problem. When you come in here with, let's say, $12 and God say give $10, I'm counting, I'm like, Lord, this don't add up. Okay, I gotta eat lunch, I need a snack, I get this on Tuesday, I get this on Wednesday. You add this, it don't fit. It don't fit the struggle. Putting God first doesn't always fit. It's a must that we have to do. The devil's not gonna, your natural man, the enemy is not gonna make it easy to fit God into the midst of your struggle. Okay, so he told her to put her first. Now, first comes from the Greek word reshone. It's like R-E-E-S-H-O-N-E. I think I said that right. Reshone. And it means place, time, and rank. Place, time, and rank. Now, y'all got that? Place, time, and rank. Y'all remember the old folks saying, don't give place to the enemy in your life? Y'all remember that? Don't be giving place to the enemy in your life. We know that. Don't give place to the enemy. Well, we have to give place to God in our life. Now, I'm going to talk about my wife's family for a minute because it's important. This is the only one that I know. Auntie Julia was like, what you doing? It's the only one I know that had one of these rooms that was explained. So we went to her dad's house, and he has this one room, white carpet. And it was a lot of them. And the house wasn't no mansion. You know, they had like one playroom and the rooms, and in the one room, you wasn't allowed to go in. So they set the place aside. Now, some people know what that's like. They had the one room in the house your parents didn't allow you to go. They set the place aside. So April told me what they would do is they would walk in the room, take the vacuum cleaner with them, and when they walk out, they would vacuum their way out of the room. Now, her father set this room aside for special use that never got used. You can't set a place in your life for God that you never let him visit and walk in. So many of us as saved people, we got a place for God that's like that white room. The floor is perfect, ain't never been ate at, got plastic on the couches and all that stuff. It's just perfect, but nobody's allowed. The place you set aside for God, to put God first, is the place, time, and rank. Place, we have to set aside a place for God in your life. And the place can't be the room of I'm saved. Because that's just a place of chaotic, defeat, destruction. We don't win in that. Okay, we saved. Great. Shout. Get joy. But now I want some victory.
Right.
I came from churches where I seen saved folks that was 90 in the same defeat they was in when they was 40. How you giving me the same testimony about defeat 50 years later? Something for me is like, I need something more than that.
Yes.
I do. I need victory. Yes. So I have to occupy the place that I set aside. Now, for most of us, we live in a two-family. We have one downstairs house for God and one upstairs house for the enemy. Don't front. Y'all got it. Let me search y'all so I find the enemy's room. We have that. We have to learn that we need to, some areas of our life, let's just be real. Our natural man will never allow us to fully evict Satan and the enemy out of our life. You walk in flesh. That's the bottom line. He's going to always have a presence, something to pull on, something to tug at. I don't care how saved you are, somebody cuts you out, you're going to think about what you want to say. You may not say it, you may grow from it, but it's still a thought. But we need, some of us know we need to evict him from some of the places that he has in our life. Calculate your square footage and how much of that in your soul does the enemy possess compared to what God possesses. If you have a 2,000 square foot soul and the enemy is in like 1,800 square feet, something wrong. But God can't be in 1,000 square feet, but you spend all your time in the 1,000 square feet with the enemy. See, we give God a lot of space in our lives. We run around, talk all the good talk. God is great, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet all we do is live in the rooms that Satan occupies, our natural man, the flesh. We okay there? All right, I'm almost done, got 2 points. Time. Once you give place for something, you allocate time to it. How much time you spend. I'm in IT, so when we build new servers, we allocate how much space that server is going to need to run stuff. We have to allocate time to give God what he needs to be productive in our life. So if God puts, as I would say in IT, a server, an attitude server in your life, you have to allocate time in order for that server, the attitude server, to start to change. You can't hear God say, let's better this part right here, and you give him no time to better it. No time. You have to allocate time to God. Now, I give you it's an example that I need something that'll help us, something small, so everybody can't think they holier than now and it don't apply to them. That's why I like using small analogies. Because small analogies, we all can. Okay. Have you ever been on the phone in the car? Glory be to God. Like, yes, I have. Okay, how I look, I have been. Have you ever been on the phone in the car? You're talking to somebody, y'all not getting along. Whatever that may be, that's your prerogative. I know y'all thinking about the person y'all not getting along with. That's what I want you to do. You ever been on the phone with somebody in the car that you don't get along with or you have an issue with? You hang up. But the conversation don't stop. You keep giving time to the conversation. I've been walking in the store and I seen this lady, it was so funny. I pulled up next to her. She was in the car next to me. I looked over, she's on the phone. And I could see her yelling. You know how people talk on their cell phone, they put it right here. I could see her talking to her cell phone like this. And so she hung up. And when she got out the car, she kept talking. She's like, how you gonna tell me what to do? And she's just talking to herself. And I'm in the store and I can hear this lady in the next aisle still talking about whatever her conversation was. And what God is showing is we allocate so much time to things that we don't need. Now, in that situation, how hard is it when you really, really want to talk to yourself about what the other person did to stop and just say, pray. Just pray and say, Lord, help me with my attitude. Because the next 20 minutes is just going to be me fussing and complaining about what the person did. And it doesn't fix anything. And most of us, the reason we talk after a conversation is to build ammunition for the next time I talk to you so I can tell you what I learned from the conversation. That's what we do. But see, that's the danger of allocating time to things that are enemy. You start getting weapons that was never meant for you to have. Some of us are so built up to do stuff for the enemy and for our natural man, the flesh, And then we wonder why when the situation arrives, we quick to strike. We give so much time. So we've allocated space to God, a place for God. We have to give him time. Yes, I mean TikTok time. Not, okay, God, I'm going to give you time when I'm walking or time. I mean, yes, you know, I think we're the only, we are a unique people. We use time for everything but God. You will set your alarm to make every appointment, but to get up and pray, I ain't set my alarm. When I get up, I get up. And then you rushing, trying to fit in, pray, and reading. So we allocate time. You watch your favorite TV show. You know this one is 30 minutes. This one is an hour. So you're going to cook during this time so you can catch the show during this time. We do that, but we don't stop and say, you know what? From 7 to 8 at home, I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God about my attitude. So, yes, I'm talking about TikTok time. So, I want y'all to remember TikTok time. Y'all should remember that all week. I want y'all to start using time. I can plan my whole... It's funny. You talk to people. Nowadays, almost done. You talk to people, and they be like, you just say what day it is. Tuesday. Oh, okay. This show come on. I watch this. I watch Criminal Minds. I watch this. Oh, this Wednesday. Oh, I can't wait. Criminal Minds come on. That's my show. Then the next one come on at 10. I'm going to watch. We pattern out our whole evening on the day of the week. Sunday is the only day we know. Sunday and Tuesday, the only day we know. Okay, I'm going to give God about an hour. But we give so much time to everything else. And I'm not talking about just TV, habits, hobbies. You know, a lot of things. Guys, we work out. I'll give God hours, you know, to work out. I ain't reading for no hour. Like, that's the mindset. We have some TikTok time. Start putting God first in TikTok time. Why, Pastor? Why is time so important? Time produces rank. I'm going to tie that together. But time produces rank. Now, what the enemy does is what he does during your time that you're allocating, what I'm going to do with my day. God gave you power and dominion over your day. So you allocate your time. So time, what am I going to do with my day? What the enemy does is he stimulates your flesh to dictate what you do with your time. I'm going to use Pastor Ariana in only because she put herself out here first. She gave fair game when she put herself out here first. She said that the Lord was trying to get her to stop watching TV. And it was difficult. And obviously he wants more of her time. That's her calling. Y'all don't have to do that. Y'all don't have to do that. Y'all hear me? Don't go home talking about pastors. I can't watch TV no more. We can't. TV is the box of the enemy. Don't do all that. That's her thing that she got to go through with God. And we all have those things. But my question would be to Pastor Ryan in a pastoral conversation would be, well, what stimulates you to watch TV? Is it boredom? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Is it stress? What is the stimulant to make you watch TV? We all have something that stimulates us. If I rub a feather over my wife, she can't stand it. It stimulates her in the wrong way. She don't like it. You see what I'm saying? All the enemy does is take a feather and rub it over your flesh in the area that stimulates you. So the question is, if I'm not allocating my time right, what is stimulating me to allocate my time different? Oh, I make that make sense a little bit. So we talked about rank. Please understand, I think, before this church, you know, before God comes back, because God willing, this church will be here forever after we pass and move on until God's come back. But one thing I want the church to be known for is understanding Old Testament principle. God used the people of Israel as an army. There's a reason why he did army and wars for us to understand things. Now, if I'm a soldier and a guy with a rank comes in and tells me to do something, what do? I do. Now, if a guy with a higher rank comes in and tells me to do something, what do? I do what he says. I follow the rank. We are the same way with our soul and our flesh. God is saying, do this. And you start to do it until the enemy comes in, and because he has more place and time, he has more rank. So when he speaks to your natural man, you jump and do that. Understand place and time is going to dictate who has more rank for your natural man. Ask yourself, who has more rank right now? When I have an attitude and God is saying, bite my tongue, can the enemy speak up and say, no cuss, and I do? Does he have more rank in that area? I mean, stuff that you just have to know. I think when I first stopped trying to stop cussing, the hardest thing for me is when I stub my toe. You know, you can take the most sane person and they stub their toe and a cuss word is coming out of their mouth or some murmuring or some biting of the tongue. We know that. So that was something that would stimulate me that in that area the devil still had more rank. So ask yourself, if I'm giving more place and time to the enemy, it may not seem like a lot until you have to follow an order. Until your natural man has to follow an order, and God is trying to tell you. That's why most of us, we say, man, I'm trying to do good, I just can't. It's because the enemy got more rank in your flesh than your spirit does.
That's right.
God don't have the high voice in your spirit man, in your natural man. He can't speak to the natural man and say, okay, come pray with me for an hour. The enemy gonna say, boy, you tired, lay in the bed. And I lay in the bed. Don't put me out here by myself. Y'all done laid in the bed too. But that's the truth. So the more space, the more place I give God in my life, the more time I allocate him, it's gonna help me with what I follow. It's the rank in your life. Is that applicable? Understandable? Be able to apply that? Well, that's what we wanna do. We wanna understand, we have to understand that for so many of us, we give God the place that look good and we give God the time that he kind of needs, but personally, we never develop and grow. Pastor Anna said this is a season of change.
Yes.
And if you know anything about us and what we're going through, we're constantly changing in our lives and God is doing new stuff. But I realize with change means I have to give time to stuff I ain't never gave time to before. You see what I'm saying? You do. If you want to get in better shape and lose some weight, what you got to do? Spend more time working out. Less time eating. We're eating the wrong thing. So we understand that.
Yes.
If you want a better attitude, you fill yourself with more stuff than just attitudinal stuff. So understand, place and time will dictate rank and who you listen to. So the only challenge I have, because I know y'all want Pastor Ian about, you know, really looking for change in your life, is I want you, most of the stuff that I talk about is just for us to recognize. You know how we went over that message, work out your own soul salvation? You gotta work it out. I'm just trying to get you to see. So my it starts seeing, okay, God didn't have the rank in that situation. God was telling me one thing. Some of us, the enemy got so much rank, you could barely even hear God for some situations. Y'all, we know what that's like. Barely even hear. Get mad enough? God's voice, get mad enough? You know, life can be maybe kind of angry sometimes. So follow, we want to follow the rank of God and not of the enemy pushing on our flesh. Because no matter how you twist it, your natural man has to carry out everything you want to do spiritually. So God should have the rank, not the enemy. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. We ask that you would be with us this week. Help us to accept change in our lives. And help us to start recognizing where the enemy has rank over God in our natural man. We want to set aside a place for you, Lord, a huge place, and allocate more TikTok time with you, Lord, so that we will hear your voice and follow your rank in our lives. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Good morning, everyone. It is offering time here at the Lost and Found.
Yay! My bad.
If you need an envelope or a pen, just raise your hand. I want you guys to think about something that Pastor Mark and Pastor Ayana said. Anytime that change, anytime you're facing a change or these challenges, they can be really difficult. Change is